Inside Security Podcast with Martin and Steve Yvette and Little Joe. News Yankee Steve giving weekly updates. Armor guy managing the microphones. Joseph's there and sparkles while the vet's in the airport. Andy Googles Microsoft on his iPhone. A family-friendly bucket full of southern goodness. What will they be ranting about this week?
We're almost out of time, so I will instead ask each candidate to sum up in a single word the best argument for his candidacy. Governor Bush?
Strategery.
It's episode 198 of the Southern Fried Security Podcast. We're so glad you could join us today. On the other line of what we hope will be a stable Skype connection is our News Yankee Steve Reagan. Steve, how's that bullet pointing and outlining going tonight?
It's frustrating. It just keeps going all over the page. Nobody seems to listen when I try to organize it. And then they laugh at me. It's just, it goes well. How are you?
I think they're laughing with you, but moving on from there. Also joining us, Joseph Ciccoli. Your editing skills are completely mad. That's all I've got to say.
Document editing, audio editing, all of the above, you know?
All of the editing. Guys, tonight we are going to talk about the hardest thing that a CISO does in their career, unless they have to explain a massive breach, and that's strategy or strategery, depending on which way you want to think about it. But that's the topic tonight.
So this is, and Martin, you kind of proposed this topic, and I'm going to go ahead and lead us through kind of the way that we've been doing this over the past few episodes. So this is kind of one of those high level, sort of an abstract topic that really has a lot of real world implications, as well as is a huge part of a CISO's job. But first and foremost, I want to separate this from our discussion a few weeks ago, or I guess a month ago-ish now, about policy. How is strategy different than policy?
So I think the best way to think about it is policy is binding statements about what you do or do not do. They're usually fairly tactical. They're fairly prescriptive. And it takes effort and work to change them. Strategy is a little more ephemeral. Strategy is thought out planning. And it's not that they're completely separate. Your policy should inform your strategy. As you are working your way through a multi-year strategy, that will also inform policy. There's a feedback loop into each. So again, your policy is what you say you do or what you say you don't do. Strategy is the forward-looking, the things I want to be able to do or the things I want to stop doing. That's really the best way I can think of separating the two. And you know, to your point, Joseph, I think talking about strategy, building a security strategy, this is going to be something unusual for us. And I think this is going to go out to 2, 3, maybe 4 parts because this is a really dense, broad, and deep topic. And I'll be honest, I could talk for days, but then we would lose all our listeners. But there's definitely a lot to talk about here, and it's really a key thing for CISOs to be able to do.
Got it. Okay. So I guess let's start with what a strategy is not, because one thing I do want to remind people of is the show notes will be listed in your podcast client of choice. Additionally, there will be show notes on the website eventually once I figure out the markdown shenanigans. But so what do you define a strategy as not being, I suppose?
So a lot of times you see the word strategy used inappropriately. So let's talk really quickly. A strategy is not a list of technologies that you want to buy. I mean, I've seen more than my fair share of strategies where they say, we're going to buy a DLP product and we're going to buy a next gen firewall and we're going to buy whatever, a SIM, we're going to buy firewall management. And those technologies are interesting and they are part of a strategy, but in and of themselves, that's not strategy. At best, that's engineering. And I'm not knocking engineering. It's really important. But it's not strategy. Strategy is also not the remediation plan that follows your audit or assessment. You know, if you have a QSA come in, or external audit or internal audit, or God forbid one of your regulators comes in and you know you get the corrective action plan, that's not strategy. Will it inform a good strategy? Absolutely. Can you take a strategy document? Let's say that you have an assessment done that says, hey, you are weak on, pick something, user access monitoring.
Yeah, or patch management.
Patch management, right? You can say, look, we have a strategy that we're going to be building capabilities, and we're going to talk a lot more about capabilities later in the show, but we're building this set of capabilities to address patch management, but we have to do it in this sequence because there's other things going on at the same time. And if you have that compelling strategy, the regulators generally, or the auditors, the assessors, they start to calm down because they realize that you know what you're talking about and you have a plan and the plan's actually actionable. The other two things that a strategy isn't is it's not a justification for doing things the way you've always done them. And I've seen that too. And it's incredibly short-sighted. It's using a strategy document as an excuse for having a crappy program because strategery. And that may fly for a little while until your program is so underwater that the strategy and the person who's advocating it are adding value in another organization. But I think even more insidiously is a strategy is not the stuff your favorite vendor or your favorite consulting firm told you you need to do. And again, it's not that that vendor partners or consulting partners can't inform a strategy. They can bring a different set of eyes in and maybe discuss alternatives that you just weren't aware of. But if you just take the list of things that they recommend and call it your strategy, and you're a CISO, that's as close to corporate malfeasance as I believe exists. Because you're not responsibly performing your duties. It's something I feel really strongly about. Again, I want partners to be part of this, but if you turn over your strategy to a partner, it's going to be a bad day for you. It's going to be a really bad day for you.
Got it. So with all those things in mind, then, what is a security strategy?
All right. A security strategy is really based on the needs and the desires of the organization and its senior leaders. You'll notice in there's not the word security is not in there directly. A security strategy has to reflect, support, and in a lot of ways be guided and almost limited by the needs and the desires of the organization and its senior leadership. You may want to turn your organization into an absolutely ironclad, you know, 7 factors of authentication needed to access every single data asset that's been classified. And is, you know, but if the organization and the senior leaders don't want that, it's not going to happen. And you will actually be hurting yourself. Your strategy needs to be culturally relevant to where you work. One of my favorite Peter Drucker quotes is, culture eats strategy for breakfast. And this is what it means. You can come up with a great strategy at company A where everything about the way the organization does business, the relationships between leadership and the rank and file are taken into account, the way customer relationships are managed is taken into account, and it can be a fantastically successful strategy. And if you pick that up and take it to company B, even in the same vertical, even in the same local market, it can abjectly fail because it's not tied to the culture of that organization. The management and labor relationships may be different. The way they sell their products and services may be different. The expectations employees have and leadership has of what's available on the network and how it's available may be different. And you can completely mess your program up if the strategy you're proposing isn't relevant to the organization, because at best you'll be ignored, and at worst you're going to get flattened like a piece of roadkill. A strategy is also, and this is where we start getting into the benefits of it a little bit, is it's a guide to where your investments of money and people need to be made. It lays out a storyboard, or it lays out a path of what we're going to build in what sequence to what level of depth. And you can start talking about building capabilities in multiple phases. You know, you look at some of the large technologies that we may deploy in security, like identity and access management or data loss protection. In a large enterprise, DLP or IAM, if you try to do all of it in one big push, you're going to fail. It's too much change for almost any organization to absorb. So your strategy starts figuring out, what are the key capabilities I need to build using what technologies, building what services? How am I adjusting my service catalog to reflect what it is I want to build? And how do we move through there? And that just, what you'll do is, if you do that effectively, the technology you're going to use and the technology phases just naturally falls out. And it, there's that guide. I think a strategy is also, and this is again, it's a cultural thing. It's got to be balanced. It's got to be a very balanced document. And yes, it is a document. It can be a PowerPoint. It can be a Word document. It could be a YouTube video where you're doing it in an interpretive dance. But it's a document. It's not just some thoughts in your head. But it's got to be balanced between what I think of as boldness and reassurance. I've seen CISOs propose strategies that are incredibly bold. So bold, they scare the bejesus out of all the other senior leaders, because they're going way out past the comfort margin or comfort zone of those leaders. And they just, again, that's where culture comes in. So there needs to be reassurance as well. You need to be able to demonstrate, hey, we are going to go in some new directions, or we're going to dig deeper into an investment or a capability, or we're going to have to go back and remodel and refactor something that's been around for a while because it needs renovation after so much time. So you've got to be able to reassure them that the things, the outcomes that they come to expect from information security, the outcomes they like, will continue to happen. And you need to be able to reassure them that the new outcomes that you're wanting to develop and build in your strategy can be done in a way that doesn't blow the world up. And finally, a strategy has got to be built on sets of capabilities that map to the business, what the business sees as being success, the business success criteria. So for example, I'm at a hospital, and if I develop a strategy that is, we are going to invest heavily in protecting the nuclear materials that are in the hospital's control. And yes, there are. I mean, that's what radiology uses and nuclear medicine uses. So yes, they're there. But if I spend all my effort on that and I don't talk about the other things the business cares about, yes, the, you know, securing, you know, the items in radiology is important. But if I don't map to the other things that the business deems as defining success, my strategy will fail. So you need to be able to map what you're doing to what the business says is important. Fortunately, you can probably go to your company's website and look at their mission, or look at, you know, some of the previous communications from the CEO or out of the annual report, and look at the things they talk about. And that's the things that are important to the business. And you need to be able to figure out how you can support either, you know, doing more of what the business wants, or making what they don't want happen less often. And you will get a huge amount of credibility with the organization if you can lay that mapping out in such a way that it makes sense, and that you can demonstrate that you are helping versus simply layering on a bunch of stuff that everyone feels gets in the way of doing business.
So when you look at everything you just outlined here, talk a little bit about how that affects the average person, like your SOC analyst or internal red team, or just, you know, the guy who's wearing every hat possible at the cube in IT. How does this type of stuff affect them once you get it all going?
I think the biggest thing for strategy for the folks who are actually running your program is if you can effectively communicate the strategy to them, it helps them see where they fit in. They understand that the role they're playing in the SOC is part of an incident response capability, a security event management capability, a data loss prevention capability. So they don't see themselves as simply being a cog turning in a vacuum. They see the relationships. And, you know, let's be honest, most of the people who work in SOX, we call them firewall jockeys or whatever. They're generally pretty smart people. And if they're not, you need to hire new ones, because there are lots of really smart people out there. And if you explain the bigger picture and you show them how what they're doing is related to all the other things in the program, and you know, the relationship of all the things that we're doing are related to the success of the business, they're going to be able to adapt what they do to support that goal. You can empower your folks in the SOC to stop doing things that they don't need to do, because they're smart enough to know that this, you know, task A is more important than task B because strategy. And they may not think about it directly that way, but if you can lay out what those goals are, if you can lay out what the success criteria are and what the strategy, you know, leads them to be. In the Army, when you issued an operations order, it was called Commander's Intent. Commander's Intent is a strategy statement, no matter if you were commanding a platoon or a corps. That's what it does for the folks on the security team, I think. That's the biggest value it has for them, to help them understand their jobs.
And I think that ties really nicely into kind of your first point on why you would want a security strategy, right? Because right. That does help create that frame of reference.
Right. A consistent frame of reference for talking about the program is huge. One of the things I am very fond of, and the folks on my team know this, is about a consistent vocabulary about how you talk about the program. You know, we talk about capabilities. We talk about outcomes. We try to use the same phrasing consistently about how we talk about the program. You know, in my shop, we talk about guardrails, not speed bumps. That's a strategic view as to how we operate the program. We talk about the fact that we don't say no, but we might say not like that. That's a very strategic view as to how you're going to engage the other components of your business. And by creating that frame of reference and creating the vocabulary around the program, it creates a level of consistency and reassurance, because the people you're interacting with across the team are hearing the same thing from all your people. Everyone's on the same sheet of music. They're hearing consistent guidance, and people gravitate toward that. People like having reassurance, especially in security, where, let's be honest, people are still afraid of us. If we can calm them down and they realize that we're on their side, it makes our jobs a whole lot easier. And I think related to that is sort of the next idea of, and as a CISO, I mean, some of the hardest, you know, the toughest time of year is budget time. You know, we're recording this, in the summer. So for those of us who operate on the federal fiscal year, it's budget time, right? Where you're working out your what you're going to ask for CapEx, and what you're going to ask for OpEx, and where are you going to try to spend potentially significant amounts of money. If you have a well-defined strategy and you can talk about the capabilities that you're building that are aligned with the goals of the organization, it will help senior leaders understand the where and the why of those investment asks. At the same time, it creates a story for the CFO org to understand your budget, and it's going to make getting that budget through less difficult. I'm not saying it'll ever be easy. Getting budget money through the CFO is never easy. That's their job. But if you can create a story, and that's how human beings communicate, right? We remember stories. We remember experiences. So if you can tell a story, and that's what a strategy is. It's the forward-looking story of what you're going to look like, and you can tie that and ground it in current experience, that is where people are going to understand why you just asked for $11 bajillion, for the really shiny blinky box, right? And all this, and all the professional services and consulting and all that that goes along with it. People are sold on stories. People are sold on stories that tie to experience, I'm not saying you'll always get your 11 bajillion dollars, but you'll have a much better chance of getting it if you can connect it all together. Because at the end of the day, what you're doing is you're providing a framework for the senior leaders, for the CFO, to make a decision. You're creating a self-guiding method of question and answer and question and answer that leads them down to making some really effective choices, right? You don't want to, again, going back to the hospital environment, every dollar I ask for is a dollar that the organization won't spend on delivering clinical health care. Well, delivering clinical health care is what hospitals do, especially like where I work, a community-based not-for-profit. That's our goal, and I'm on board with that, right? It's one of the things I'm really proud to do where I work is we do good. So what I've got to be able to do is tell the story that shows this money that I'm going to be spending on this security capability, how is it going to enable or protect or enhance delivering clinical health care? How do I ensure patient safety? How do I help protect quality of patient care? And some of the interesting things that's happened to me over the last couple 3 years is as I look at something that I think is that I'm interested in, and I realize I can't tell that story, at least not tell it with a straight face, I realize that that shouldn't be in my strategy. And it falls out because it sort of helps prove to yourself there's that framework of making the effective choice, not just helping senior leaders make the effective choice, but me as the CISO making the effective choice as to what should be in my strategy. If I can't tell a story, it doesn't need to be in my strategy.
Got it. So we have a few more minutes left. So I want to go ahead and kind of outline what we're going to hit for the next few episodes. And we are kind of planning something special for episode 200 if we can pull it off. But like you said, this is a pretty long discussion. So I guess why don't you outline how you would go about making a security strategy?
All right. So there are six things that I think are key to pulling an effective strategy together. One is you need to understand the business of your business. Now that sounds really simple, but it's a lot more complex than people think. You need to know who your stakeholders really are. In every industry, in every company, there is the organization chart that shows you, solid and dotted lines and boxes with people's names in it, who your official stakeholders are. There's also going to be some unofficial yet very real stakeholders that you need to be aware of and you need to be able to handle. And we'll talk more about identifying those. And you've heard me use the word capability a lot and kind of stealing a little bit of how, Alex Hutton talks about risk. Capability to me is, technology plus services together times process. And we'll spend a whole lot of time in another episode talking about capability and why talking about technology only is a mistake, because you want to talk about capability. The other thing is, this is especially, it's hard for new CISOs to do, is it's crawl, walk, run. And actually it's more probably crawl, 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 walk, 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 run, fall down, walk, 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 run. Is the way it usually works out. And lastly, and for some of us who are from a DISC perspective, high Ds, we have to understand that getting a security strategy out there takes a village. This is not something one person by themselves can do. I don't care how impressive a CISO you are, you can't do this by yourself. And if you try, you will fail. And we'll talk all about that over a couple, three episodes. So this should be interesting.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's a really good starting place. I'm certainly interested to hear more about where this conversation will go from here.
Well, super. I look forward to having that conversation. And I especially look forward to all of the hijinks that Steve's going to pull together for episode 200.
Not that we're building it up or anything.
Yeah, but I am going to build it up. Here, I'm going to give you a hint. Bring your dice.
All right. With that, guys, thanks so very much. It's been a fantastic evening. I really miss having Yvette and Andy here, but they both have got family and business commitments that, you know, override having fun with us. So on behalf of Steve Reagan and Justice Coley, I've been Martin Fisher. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll talk to you again soon. Good night.
Thanks.
Good night, everybody.